Welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We provide education and information on senior care topics. Here's your host, Ryan McInniff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We give you information and education on senior care topics. My name is Ryan McInniff, the owner of Men and Women Home Care, the host of the Caregiver's Toolbox. I'm here with my trusty co-host, co-pilot, Janet. Janet, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Good.
It's getting to my favorite season.
Well, it's the same day that we did the last two podcasts, so we're still in the same clothes. We're still breathing the same air. We're still on the same day.
But that's right.
You're listening
but
to this
podcast. But it's one podcast later.
It's another few days later for the listeners out there. So today, you know, we last two couple podcasts were about about assisted living communities, as it is Assisted Living Week. This one we're going to kind of bring it back to private home care. And one of the things I wanted to talk about was eight things you shouldn't expect from a private home care agency. And usually when some of these things come up, when we come up with some of these ideas, it's based off of real life, like things that have occurred in the last month or two or in the last week or two that
you
are
can't
like,
make this up.
You should probably do this. So we're going to do the eight things that you shouldn't expect from a private home care agency. And the first one is expecting a two-person lift with just one person.
Get out of my head. That was the first thing I was thinking of.
So I didn't even tell Janet about this. So in the last few months, we've had one or two instances where people are frustrated that one person can't pick another person up off the floor. And for insurance reasons, for moral reasons, for just common sense reasons, you really need multiple people to pick one person off the floor when you're dealing with somebody's full body weight where they cannot support themselves in any way, shape, or form. I am a big guy. I'm 6'6". I'm strong. I work out regularly. By no means am I the poster child for health, but I'm doing better than a lot of 35-year-olds that are out there, and there are a lot that are doing better than me. Anyways, I'm in the middle. Anyways, we won't get on the subject. But I had to pick up my mom a number of times when she was in cancer 6 years ago. God, it's been 6-7 years ago before she passed away, where you're even younger. You're even supposed to be stronger and things like that.
Eat your spinach.
And it wore on my back very quickly. So if somebody's expected to do a two-person lift with one person, I don't think that's something you can expect an agency to do. And the other thing is, if you love a caregiver, you don't want to do that for the selfish reason that they're going to get burned out, they're going to injure themselves, and then they're not going to come back to the case because they can't come back to the case.
Exactly.
And I'm sure you have plenty of stories with this, with your work with VNAs and with the assisted living industry on when this happens.
Well, there's a human Hoyer lift, we are not.
Correct.
You know, and we need to be clear that. And unlike you, I am not over 6 feet. I am barely over 5 feet. And I have a bad shoulder. And, you know, you gotta take care of what you have. So, you know, it's one of those things that when we say someone is a one-person transfer, that means that the caregiver or you, if you are the caregiver, are able to assist that person to get out of bed, in and out of a chair. But that implies that they are to some level weight-bearing, meaning they can stand, and you need to guide them. For some people, it's because they have mental limitations, but in other cases, people have physical limitations. But if someone slips and goes to the floor, caregivers are trained to try and guide them down as safely as possible, protect their head, maybe break their fall as they lean against their body on the way down.
Yeah, as much as possible.
We don't catch, nor should you try and catch them. I can relate to a personal situation that wasn't even all that long ago where my own mom fell, and she fell right in the bathroom doorway, which doesn't give you a whole lot of room to move.
Nope.
And the first thing I said to her was, okay, you have to listen and do what I tell you, or I'm calling the guys in the red truck. You know, and if you can talk someone through, and you can go online and you can find directions on how you help someone, talk them through, use a chair and help them get up safely, that's one thing. If they can't, one person, you should not try and pick them up. And that's the fire department will tell you they get more calls to just pick people up off the floor. And a lot of people are afraid to call the fire department because they think that that's a one-way ticket to a nursing home. Someone can't be taken to a facility or even to the doctor without their consent. So oftentimes they get them up, they get them in the chair, they see that things are okay, or if they feel there's a problem, they will try and coerce them to go and get checked out.
Absolutely.
But nobody should try and pick someone up off the floor. You shouldn't try and lift somebody out of the bathtub. It's just not good body mechanics, and it's really risky for both of you.
Absolutely, because if the caregiver fails in that, then they're probably going to break their own fall, and the senior is going to be on the losing end of that battle. So
exactly. And like we're saying all the time, the difference between a 2-year-old and a 92-year-old, other than height, is they have a lot in common. And how well does a 2-year-old listen to instructions?
Yeah.
A 92-year-old with any kind of memory issues, they can't necessarily follow instructions either. So to your point, you can both be at risk.
Yep. So number two on the list is colostomies and catheters. We get a lot of these calls. We happen to work with colostomies and catheters in a limited availability, but a lot of agencies will not touch them with a 10-foot pole. They don't want to get involved with it because it's either difficult to find caregivers that are willing to work on those cases, or they feel that it is just a little bit too much pointed towards medical care. It's kind of in a gray area, to be quite frank with you, but it's an area where if you are thinking that your parent needs help with a colostomy or a catheter, or maybe down the road that looks like it's going to be needed, double check with your private agency, because not everybody's going to help you out with that, and they could end up being in a situation where you're finding a new private agency after they've come in when you realize we don't do that type of stuff.
Right. And it's not to say that if you have a family member with a colostomy or catheter that private caregivers won't take the case. In a lot of cases, it's a matter of, doing certain things as part of personal care, and they can do that. But the issue is where it becomes clinical, there needs to be either a family member or the resources to be able to come in and deal with that.
Absolutely. And so number three on this list, I think I said there was a list of eight, and I meant it was a list of seven. Number three on this list is case management, something that is very easy to get involved with as a private agency because you want to help out in every manner and every way, and is also to be fair to the family members that they don't know necessarily that they're stepping over their boundaries, but generally with case management, we're there to provide help with a caregiver between the hours that they're there and the hours that they show up and the hours that they leave. And anything that happens outside of those hours or that is not related to the direct one-on-one care with a caregiver and the client is outside of the responsibilities that a private agency has to a client. Now, of course, if somebody's in a jam, if a client's in a jam and they need an extra help here and there, almost any agency is happy to go above and beyond to help out with that. But what we're talking about is when it's consistently becoming a case management scenario where we're handling everything from soups to nuts in that household, that's mm-hmm. where you're going to find there's going to be a specific line in the sand that the agencies can't cross.
Yeah, and I think that, it's a problem, too, because the nature of caregiving, whether it's the caregivers, me, other office staff, it's like mentally you want to give them a hug and make it all work. And the things that where I think you need to raise your hand if you need some help, like you say, we provide the caregivers. But if someone's coming out of a facility, there's usually a family meeting, and or discharge planning. And that's where you ask every question, whether no matter how minor you might think it would be. And if you think you're going to need some ongoing support to sort things out, if it's with a VNA, see if you can get a social worker to help you. See if there is, if you can get a list of geriatric care managers, if there's a number of things that have to be done. Because there are resources out there, but to think that the private home care can be your one-stop shopping. That's not the reality.
And we just did a whole thing on case managements and why they're great. So if you missed that, go back to that episode and we really explain on why case managers are so outstanding and where they can come through, and they hit a lot of great home runs for people. So another area in which you shouldn't really expect a caregiver to or an agency is going to be house cleaning. Now, this is a gray area that we come across, and quite frankly with you, I completely understand where people are coming from. There's a couple different facets here, and I'll summarize it quickly, which is some families expect that the house should be clean from top to bottom for a caregiver, especially if that caregiver has a lot of downtime. And that can be very understandable when you're paying an hourly wage of $28, $29, $30 an hour to an agency, and there's a caregiver sitting there while your loved one is taking a 2-hour nap and nothing's getting done for your money. But house cleaning is a completely separate service than what private home care is. Private home care, and Janet has used this analogy, and I've stolen it from her, and I will not pay her a dime in residuals, is that private home care is the lifeguard.
Yep.
We are on duty to make sure things don't go wrong, but that doesn't mean we're actively saving somebody in the water every single moment of the day that we're sitting at guard watching over our clients. And so if we're providing house cleaning services and we're cleaning the windows of a house or mopping a different area of the home, and as we just talked about earlier, 92 and 2-year-olds, the similarity is they don't pay attention and listen and follow directions.
That's right.
You tell them, don't just ring the bell if you need to go to the bathroom.
Don't move.
I don't need a bell to go. I'll go to the bathroom. And they fall. All of a sudden, there's a big problem. Now, to be fair, the other side of that is, there is some expectation that after using the bathroom, after using this toilet sink, spitting out your used toothpaste, after using the shower, some hygiene needs to be used to clean that up and clean up after a person. So obviously, let's say, I know it's a little gross, but somebody uses the restroom and they miss the toilet and it goes on the floor. The caregiver is going to be expected to clean that up.
Absolutely.
When a meal is being made, and they're not going to just like throw all the pots and pans in the sink and say, not my problem. They're expected to clean up and keep the house in order. But that fine line is, it's really providing house cleaning services that deal with providing direct care to somebody, not keeping up with the dust that gets on the blinds or the grout that gets on the floor from people coming and going all day, and they got to mop that up. Now, and I know I'm monopolizing this one, you're going to find every caregiver is a little bit different. That's why it's a huge gray area. You're going to find maybe some of the privates, and we have this ourselves with some of the live-ins, they'll clean that house from top to bottom. And then you'll find other caregivers, they're not cleaning anything other than after meal prep, what their expectation level is to do. When you're talking with caregivers specifically and you're looking for house cleaning services, it's one, it's going to be tough to find. Two, I would suggest hiring a house cleaning service for that. But that's kind of a gray area that you shouldn't expect a private agency to be providing that type of service for you.
Yeah, and it gets a little confusing, too, where if, especially the sandwich generation, you've got your elderly parents living with you, and you also have your kids living with you, or they've come home from the holidays if they're college kids, and, you know, it's not just grandma's dishes in the sink, it's everybody's breakfast dishes. Or laundry is a reasonable expectation. But that means the client's laundry and their bedding, towels, that kind of thing. And I have firsthand gone into houses where there's 4 big baskets of laundry on the couch. And it's because the kids are home from college. And they said, well, she's got to do laundry anyway, and there's downtime. She can do this also. You know, we are there to care for that client and that client's needs. And to your point, there are some people there, they're neat freaks. There are some clients that, you know, they prided themselves in being good domestic engineers. So the caregiver uses some level of house cleaning as an activity. But
and you know what? That example to me is a perfect example of kind of going to that case management, where a kid comes back from college once every 6 months and brings a load of laundry with him. Who cares? clean the laundry. It's not a big deal.
There you go.
The kid's coming home every single week from and dumping a load or two loads of laundry on the caregiver. That's where you're going to have the conversation that says, no. This is an issue because, unfortunately, it can be a scenario where you give an inch and mile gets taken. So,
yep.
The next one, we'll try to keep this short because we could talk forever about this, is medication management. Mm-hmm. And Janet, I'll let you kind of take the reins on this one. You know, relatively concisely, why is medication management something that needs to be done? And what have we done recently to try to streamline that for clients to make it as safe as possible?
Medication management for a caregiver really should be reminding, and medication is not something that caregivers should be taking out of the pill bottles. So someone, either a family member or some other arrangement, the pills should be set up as to what they need to take for each day. We can document when they're supposed to take it, and the caregiver will also document if the client declined to take it. You can't make somebody take their medicine. But that's really where the caregiver role should begin and end. And we have some clients, we have one client that takes 30 different medications in the course of a day. And we've streamlined that to the point of within, there's a pill box for each time and where they have it. If the number's not right, they have to call somebody and check. But the best thing are all these new pharmacies that will do bubble packs or prepackaged for the day. So then all you have to do is point to that one, and maybe you have to help them open the container.
Absolutely.
But to think that a caregiver can just take it out of the bottle, that's not appropriate. That's a judgment thing that they should not be in a position of doing.
Yes. And so the reason why we have really pushed for these bubble packs, and I think they're becoming more popular, is that the reason why robotics is becoming so popular nowadays is it reduces human error, right? When you hear about, I only think about it because I don't like flying and I'm flying out tomorrow, but when you think about plane crashes, right, usually the issue, or car crashes, you usually don't hear, well, the engine just decided to turn the car into oncoming traffic. No, it's usually human error that causes these problems, right?
Yep.
Somebody didn't pay attention. Somebody was sleepy. Somebody just made the wrong mistake at the wrong time. And they could have done it 10 other million times and wouldn't have been a problem. But in that one situation, it caused a catastrophe. So the reason I bring that up is that you could have the greatest nurse of all time out there, and mm-hmm. between having kids, maybe not getting sleep, maybe they're having a bad day because they fought with their husband or their significant other, whatever it is, they can make a mistake. And the less hands, that the less cooks in the kitchen, means that there's less likely there's going to be too much salt added to the stew, and it comes out poorly. And it's the same thing with medications.
Yep.
The less people touching these medications means the more accurate they're going to be. And these bubble packs also ensure that you can't just accidentally lose one or two Oxycontins that get stolen by somebody, whether it's a caregiver or a family
That's
member,
right.
and you don't find out until the pills are all almost out that you're like, wow, there's two pills missing. While with bubble packs, you know something's missing immediately because the bubble pack's been opened. And so it just is one of these things that we're really pushing clients to, looking at these bubble packs. They get delivered, like you said, they're there. You just rip them open, you rip off the serrated part, you give it to them, and then there's no excuses, because you've mentioned many times on this program that, you know, generics get used all the time in place of the name brand and vice versa. Then all of a sudden the shape and the color of the pill obviously change, and we've had those issues where caregivers call us and say, well, there's a blue pill in here now instead of the yellow pill. Calm down. That's
right.
We've had a nurse go, you know, and they're doing their job as well. So medication management is something that, you know, is going to be how you should expect to either do that yourself or to find some other alternative. Our suggestion would be to use those bubble packs. Another thing that kind of goes in the medication management for our sixth topic is actual medical care. Private home care agencies generally do not provide medical care to people. And that's really because we're, one, not licensed to, two, we don't have caregivers that are trained to do it, and three, we don't have the insurance in the background to be able to do it as well. You're dealing with a completely different set of rules, regulations, and that's not something that anybody should be doing when it comes to medical type services. Generally, there are some companies out there that can provide hourly nursing care where they can do nursing styled care for somebody, but that's one super expensive. You're talking probably $100 an hour, and then the other thing is that there's only so much they can do anyways. One of the positives and negatives of this is that a nurse is only as good as the tools that they have around them, right? So if all they have is a stethoscope and some medications and some there's only so much they can do, right? And if they don't have the equipment to provide that type of nursing care to somebody, well, then they're not. So I've talked to a lot of nurses that have done private home care, and they're like, we're basically a glorified home health aide because we can't even use the knowledge we have because we don't have the tools to use it anyways.
Yeah.
So when you're dealing with medical care, like you said, people are very worried about going to a nursing home, but a hospital and a nursing home is where that medical care, that's why it's called skilled facilities, and that's why people go to them and discharge off of our services or assisted living services when they become too complex. And that's going to be a big no-no for any agency. So if you're thinking that your parent is medically complex, make sure to have that conversation and find out with your agency what's kosher and what's not, because you don't want to get in there and find out there are a lot of things that we're not going to be able to do.
Yeah, and with whether you're in a private home care such as us or whether you are working with a visiting nurse who also has home care, caregiver services, the way I like to explain it is a caregiver observes and reports. They don't assess and treat. So for them to be applying ointment, to putting on Band-Aids, to things like that, that's not their role. There can be just a plethora of things that could go wrong. And a lot of devices and equipment and products have come a long, long way to help with this. You know, one of the things, someone didn't understand why you couldn't put an ACE bandage on mom's knee. Well, the reason is an ACE bandage is a stretchy bandage. How do you know how loose or how tight to make it? And that's where things like compression stockings, and which are a bear to put on and off, but we're really good at it. But that's like pre-measured, if you will. When the doctor writes the script for that, they know what size to make it too tight or too not.
Absolutely.
So it's a matter of just following those basic things and observing and reporting what they see. That's the role of the private caregiver.
And then the seventh thing that you should know that you just shouldn't expect from a private home care. And when I say expect, that means some might do it, but not just don't expect it to be a guarantee, is care for pets. I've seen some contracts with competitors that are happy to care for pets for a fee, an additional fee per day. And there are some that outright won't do it, or there are some that are in the middle. When you're dealing with caring with pets, you're dealing with people that might have allergies. You're dealing with people that might be afraid of animals. In New England, a lot of our caregivers are from Uganda, are from Western Africa. Some of them are from Haiti.
It's the Benadryl,
Haitian,
I'm sure.
Or Haitian or Haitian. Or somewhere, whatever we're going to say, but are Haitian from Haiti, and they have their own cultural values, norms, and some of them are very
afraid
of dogs. Dogs aren't pets, and I have a small dog, Jackson, that runs around here, and he is an 8-pound behemoth that would lick your ankle is the highest he could get up to, but there are caregivers that come in here, and we have to put him in another room because they just are afraid of dogs regardless of the size. Now, obviously, you have an 80-pound growling Rottweiler at me. Yeah, I'm going to be scared of dogs too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so there are some that are just scared of any dog or any cat or whatever it might be. So, you know that it's not going to always be a guarantee that a caregiver or an agency is going to be willing to take care of your pets. Or if they are willing to take care of your pets, just know that there's probably going to be an added charge to it as well, because you know, nothing in this world is for free. I guess we'll leave it at that.
There you go.
So, you know, is there anything you'd like to add on the caring for pets?
Walking the dog, which is a part of not necessarily changing the kitty litter or feeding the animal, whatever else. But we have to remember that we're there to care for the client. So if the activity is that you go with the client who wants to walk the dog, fine, but our caregivers don't go out and walk the dog.
Yes.
Because then they're not there for the
It's in the same realm of the house cleaning. If we're out walking the dog, exactly. Who's watching the person? That's the fall risk.
That's right.
So anyways, there's seven things that you shouldn't automatically expect from a private home care agency. And we'll leave it at that. So if there are some other ones that you think, we'd love to hear your feedback. Feel free to reach out to us. But otherwise, we will catch you on the next one. Janet, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And you have yourselves a great day.